You're making one right decision today. You're listening to Handcuffs and Sage.
Three badass moms bringing you all the true crime and paranormal your heart desires.
I'm Red.
I'm Timo.
I'm Dre. And don't let your kids listen. Seriously, just don't.
Hey, it's Handcuffs and Sage! This is Red.
Hey, this is Timo.
Hey, this is Dre.
Oh my goodness, it's a down the rabbit hole episode. I love these episodes. You guys, we're talking about Surviving Death Part 4, Signs from the Dead. I love this episode.
Oh my God,
I love it. Yeah. I freaking love it. Just to let everybody know, we are actually re-recording this. We had technical difficulties, and we are thrilled to do this again.
Sure. It's going to sound so much better because now we have so much more expertise in the whole episode.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to nail it. We're going to kill it.
Nail it.
I really love the Surviving Death series on Netflix. I just think it's truly interesting how they cover kind of everything in each episode. So for this one, we have Signs from the Dead, and it is a trip, man.
It's the things that happen. Yeah, and all our favorite characters. Tommy is not in this episode, but all our other ones are in this. So
yes. I am drinking my positivity, and I am feeling good.
I'm drinking Sheepdog, which is the poor man's screwdriver. I don't even know what it's called. It's the peanut butter flavored whiskey.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds really good.
Screwball. So the new one is bomb.
Yeah. So the new one is so good.
Yeah. So the new one out right now is called Sheepdog. And it's like a little bit cheaper than the screwball, but it's so yummy. It's so smooth. I'm having it on the rocks in my little whiskey glass, and it's so yummy. I'm loving it, but I'm sure there's so much sugar in it, but all right, whatever. I'm just
peanut butter whiskey is bomb. We will leave our address if anyone wants to send.
Peanut butter whiskey. You talk about it and someone goes, "What?" And you kind of do at first, but then when you taste it, you're like, that's good.
You're like a whole new world. I don't have rest.
My hubby loves whiskey, so I'm gonna have to try that. I'm gonna get that for him.
You haven't tried what?
I've never tried it.
Oh, yeah, it's so
Let's
good.
Pause. We are pausing here. I'm running my ass to the store.
Just do a drizzly drop off over there.
Drizzly, not sponsored. We'll think about it. Ooh, I love it. Okay, let me take a drink. Hold on, I'm relaxing my throat. Okay, you guys, this is such a great episode. I thoroughly enjoy it. We're starting off with our friend Mike. And he's a bartender.
What?
He's a bartender, y'all.
I know, on Broadway.
I wonder if he can do tricks with it, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. Mike is a bartender on Broadway, which is so badass. I love it. And he's talking about, obviously, one of the big shows is the Penn and Teller show. He loves Penn and Teller, but they don't mix words. They hate mediums, paranormal, things like that. It's bullshit, right?
It's bullshit.
And they have a psychic magician piece of their show, right? Mm-hmm. And before they start this bit, right? They say, this is all bullshit.
Right.
Right? Okay. So Mike goes to the show to watch Penn and Teller. They say that line, this is all bullshit. And at that exact moment, he looks up into a light and sees a butterfly in the theater. Mm-hmm. And everyone else is like seeing this butterfly all of a sudden at the same time.
Yeah, it's like a big thing. And just to say, this is happening in the Marquee Theater, which is in Times Square, and it's mm-hmm. in a hotel. I don't know what hotel it is. So you have to go from Times Square into the hotel lobby, then off to the side, down a long hallway, then into the theater. So how did a butterfly make its way all the way to that fucking theater? I don't think so.
And what's so fantastic is Mike talks about his father, who we know is passed, right? That's mm-hmm. what he always talks to mm-hmm. the mediums about, is his father. Is that when he sees a butterfly, he thinks of his father, right? Mm-hmm. So there's mm-hmm. that connection. Mm-hmm. So here he is in the Penn and Teller show. Penn and Teller are basically saying, this is bullshit, right? All of this is bullshit. And at that moment, that very moment, he sees a butterfly. The people around him in the theater are seeing this butterfly, and it's just catching his eye. Like, mm-hmm. this is crazy. This is a weird moment, right? So then he goes to where he bartends for the show Hamilton. Badass. That is so badass.
Name dropping.
He's very proud.
What show is that? Hamilton.
Have you heard of Hamilton? Okay. Mm. So he's telling his coworkers about this crazy butterfly moment. Mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm, sharing mm-hmm. with them. And all of a sudden, up in this gorgeous chandelier, just beautiful, they see a butterfly in the middle of this conversation. I get goosebumps. They take pictures of it. It's a beautiful butterfly. It's in the chandelier. You see the coworkers in the pictures like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy. Because not only is it inside the building at the moment that they're talking about this other butterfly situation, mm-hmm, he mm-hmm. says, you don't even see butterflies outside.
Like, right? Times Square? Uh-uh. With it's all the happening. Taxis and the exhaust and all, hello.
It ain't happening.
If it was a rat, then yes, I would say, you know.
You know, we all have these moments where we're talking about something or thinking about something, and all of a sudden that thing comes up in some way. This is what's happening to him. So mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. a crazy moment. Mm-hmm. I love that he took pictures during this moment mm-hmm. and everyone's in awe of this butterfly and this beautiful chandelier. Mm-hmm. And so then we're saying, look, there's no proof behind signs, right? This isn't a science, but you mm-hmm. can feel like, I know what this message is. I know mm-hmm. I'm having a sign, right? It's that gut mm-hmm. intuition feeling. So we have Laura Lynn, who we
Yay, love. Laura Lynn.
Laura Lynn. She's talking. She's sharing that you can see signs a lot with things like coins, lights, birds, creatures, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. in these ways we can have signs. And then we're going to kind of go down and see a lot of these things happening. And some of them are just freaking incredible.
Yeah. I love these little clips. Yeah.
Oh,
she says it's like, it's easy to manipulate creatures. So you see a hummingbird, you see a ladybug, you see, you know, dragonflies. That is a sign from, you know, whatever relates to you, that is a sign from your loved one.
I love it. So this first story that they're showing is with the two sisters. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So they're talking about their mom. Their mom was in Virginia, and they would visit her and go bird watching with her, which is adorable. Fucking love that. And in her later years, they would say, you know, when you do pass, mm-hmm. we want you to send a sign, right?
Like, and let us know when you get to heaven. Let us know when you get to heaven.
Yes, let us know. Mm-hmm. And they live in California. And so they said, send us a cardinal, right? We don't have cardinals here. And they made this point to her over and over and over again. She did pass when she was 97 years old, which is incredible. I think she had the elixir of life or fountain of youth, right? So she was 97. It just broke my heart because she said that she wasn't ready to go. Ugh, that hurt my heart.
Yeah, she didn't want to leave them.
Yeah, that made me so sad. So the mom passes away. The next day, right? Next day, the sisters are together, and all of a sudden, in the middle of this amazing canasta game, which is adorable, what is cuter than them playing canasta? Something hits the window. It's a cardinal.
In California.
The bird.
Yeah,
right. In what?
California. The day after their beloved mother passes, and they go out, they pick up this cardinal. It's crazy because they're both just, you know, they're crying, they're holding the cardinal.
They're loving
they
can't on believe. It. Yeah. It's like a pet.
Like, yes. And it's like this incredible moment of what else could this be? Mm-hmm. But what they asked their mother to do. And oh my gosh, they go outside. There's a whole video, right? They go outside with the cardinal and they try to like let it go, like you're free. And then it just comes right back to them. And one of them's like, it's mother, it's mother. Oh my gosh. It's just so, too much.
I know, it's so crazy.
Oh my gosh. So we know that people can have signs, things that come to them, you know, like a visual apparition, smells, touch, things like that. I don't know if you guys had experienced things like that. Definitely with smells, like I'll be somewhere and I'll smell something very unique and I'll think of my grandma, right? Or my grandpa.
So they're called after death communications, which they call them ADCs. And Chris Rowe, who is a study of like after death signs, he did a study and offered, hey, have you guys ever had this experience? And he got thousands and thousands of replies of people in great detail of having these ADCs, which are, like you said, the visual, auditory, smell, and touch. I think Dre said that you've had all of those almost at one time, Dre?
I think pretty much a lot more when I was younger, definitely. Like, I even had touch, and you know, like they say that people can be mistaken. He even says people can be mistaken, but when you feel I absolutely know what that was, or I know absolutely know who that was. I mean, you can say that people are mistaken, but if I know in my heart, like who can tell me that it didn't happen?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, like, how are you going to say that it was not real?
I believe you when you say when you were young and you're a child, because that's when shit really does happen, because a child is less jaded, a child is less, you know, they're more in tune to different realms, different, you know, and for sure, 110%, yes.
Yeah, like, I remember as a child, I actually saw, but it was a white apparition, and I was sitting in a white dress. It was in my closet, and I wasn't afraid, and it didn't scare me at all, and I didn't even, I just was like, oh, hey, go back to bed.
Hey, good night. Love your dress.
Yep.
I had the visual apparition, but that's all I've had so far in my lifetime. But it had such an impact in my life. That's what started me on my paranormal path. So hopefully someday I'll be able to experience the other ones.
So we have a story from Leslie. You know, she's the one that has been doing the whole series.
Yeah.
She's so fantastic. Love her. She talked to Laura Lynn. She had a reading with her. So she was super lucky. That must be nice, Leslie. And Laura Lynn tells her, your brother says happy birthday. It was her birthday, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. And she said to look for a red balloon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. So then we see a picture that Leslie has taken, and outside her window in a bunch of tree branches caught are three red balloons and a black balloon. Mm-hmm. Holy cannolis. I can't even. It gives me goosebumps.
Ooh. Yeah, so bananas is she was expecting this to happen like right away after Laura Lynn mm-hmm. told her this. For two mm-hmm. weeks, nothing happened. So she was really focused on her brother, and she's, you know, dude, send me the sign, let me know that this is real. And then that fucking next day, there's those balloons right out of her fucking window. What?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you hear her tell the story and you see the picture, your whole body just starts vibrating with
it's like bananas.
Crazy.
Like,
it's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Yes. So then we're going to hear a story about a young man, Gabriel. He had just graduated college. Okay. Just graduated college.
Right.
And he was driving, a school bus hit him, and he died. Okay.
Right. This is in Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm. With his parents, Jeff and Janet. And so Jan went to a medium. This medium told Jan that he would be leaving dimes.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Look out for dimes.
Right. Right. So Jan's like, okay. So Jan goes to the beach. She's with her daughter. They're having a moment in the water, right? Beautiful day. In between her and her daughter, Emily, is a dime floating in the water.
What?
Uh-uh. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen coins floating in the ocean? I haven't.
No. Maybe in the Mediterranean, maybe, but not in Long Island, New York.
No,
and it wasn't a penny, it wasn't a nickel, it wasn't a corner, it was a dime, and it was right between them. So this to me is like, mm-hmm. that's a mm-hmm. moment, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Of course, Jan goes home, she tells the hubby Jeff, and Jeff is like, my hubby is like, coincidence, it yeah. ain't nothing, girl, right? You crazy.
Whatever.
Right? So one morning, he wakes up from his bed. He looks over and he sees like a coin on the ground, right? He goes over, picks it up. It's a penny, mm-hmm. not a dime, right? It's a
but
penny.
But he's like, oh, kind of mocking. Oh, maybe yeah. it's a dime from Gabriel.
Yes.
And then what happens? What does he hear?
He hears his son's voice saying, aha. Aha, and this was like a joke mm-hmm. between them,
yes,
that he would say yes. this, because then he looked at the date, he couldn't really see it. He wakes up Jan, is like, what is the date on this?
First of all, he's like, aha, he's like, it's a penny, and look at the date. That's yes. what he heard his son
yeah.
tell him.
He heard it.
What?
Yeah. He heard it. Mm-hmm. And Jan looks at the date, and it's 1981, his birthday year.
Oh shit.
So then he's having a very special situation where yeah. he feels like Gabriel is speaking to him. He decides to just write out what he thinks Gabriel yeah. is saying. And it he's like, happening. Am I?
Yeah, it's happening daily, daily, yeah. daily. Yeah.
It's very interesting that this is happening to him, and then he's having these moments like, am I losing my shit?
Oh yeah,
right. Mm-hmm.
That's
really, what is happening, yeah. right? Anyone right. would think that, but he's actually being very open, I think.
Yeah, and it's like I'm writing it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great. He's open. He's listening. He's writing these down, and he says that he wrote out, I am red, R-E-D, okay?
Because he asked, like, just give me something that I would not ever expect you to tell me something I don't know about, something whatever. Mm-hmm. I am red. What is that?
Right. You're because red. We're all looking for proof, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He wants proof he's not losing his shit.
Right.
He sets this out. Show me a sign. And he writes out, I am red. What the F does that mean, Gabriel? Holy hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. They get a knock on their door. It is a package. Who ordered from Amazon again? Just kidding. They open it up and it's a painting. And what is on this painting? It's crazy. Mm. It's this beautiful picture of like an angel.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the angel is red.
What? And it was sent by Jan, a parent of Jan's class, where when she saw it, she's like, I have to buy this for Janet. No ifs, ands, or buts. Yes. I'm buying this and I need to send it to Janet.
And she said, I had no idea why I was buying this.
I have chills, you guys. What?
Felt like I had to. So a red angel picture shows up at their doorstep. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's an insane moment for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then it has the note, right?
Oh,
it has the note from Janet, and it has an explanation of what the artist did with this painting, and it is just so heartfelt. And I was just like, I actually have it here for you guys. Dear mother who loses a child. This story in magenta is connected to God's mercy and hope. Magenta is a color so close to the pure human soul that when a young person dies, the pure love is released in this rosy magenta color.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And at that point, Jeff knew I'm writing for real.
I'm not fucking crazy. I am not losing my mind.
I'm not.
This is real. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What an unbelievable experience.
My whole body has chills right now. I'm like freaking out.
This is incredible because this is a way for them to know their loved one is okay. And they're communicating. That's what I take from it, right? That's what I always get from it.
Yes. It's such an awesome thing. What? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a great story to be able to share with others. Really.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, that's a cool picture. What's that?
Yeah. You won't believe what happened.
Buckle up and listen to this shit.
That to
me. That's a gift from my dad's son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is an incredible situation. We're looking at a scene. It's a grief retreat. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of people that have lost their children. Some, you know, who have lost like a husband, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This grief retreat is run and started by Fran and Bob Ginsburg. Their daughter, Pate Bailey, had passed away. They were not doing well, right? Mm-hmm. I think the term that they used was they were basket cases, right? They just were not doing well. Bailey was the youngest of their three children. She was 15 years old. She was a baby. And she was in a car accident with her brother, and she did pass away from this accident. And so they start this organization, Life After Death. And I just think that these grief retreats are really great. I've lost a child. I did grief therapy. We sent our daughter to a grief camp. You know, if you've lost someone, these really can be really great because they give you tools on how to function like a human being on the daily, which is really hard to do.
I think you're around other people that are experiencing the same emotions, the same sadness, where it's hard for someone that hasn't experienced that to give you the comfort that you need.
Yes.
I think these are awesome because you're around so many of the people that have exactly the same everything where you can kind of like be each other's support group. Yeah.
Yes. It's so important to take care of yourself, especially in a tragedy like that. So this is a really great thing that they do. Right. So actually Sue is there. We met Sue.
Yeah. Hey,
in
Sue.
Other episodes. She's fantastic. You know, her daughter, Katie, had passed away. It was not long like a couple of years. And in grief time, that's like yesterday, right? Like no time has passed. So she's still really, really, really struggling. So then we see this crazy video that they share at this grief retreat.
Oh my God, wait. It's so bananas that now we have redid this story. And in between the time that we first did it and the time that we're doing it now, Red, OMG, you had an experience identical to this.
Oh, yes.
And oh my, I'm freaking out, man. I'm freaking out.
So let me give some backstory. Let me give some backstory here. We recorded this story, right? Mm-hmm. And in this story, they talked about setting your intentions out loud, what you wanted, right? Show me a sign, show this to me, and to do that consistently. Mm-hmm, and because we did that story, that's what I did for 2 weeks.
You did? Like,
yes, like out loud, I said, you know, to my son, show me a sign, right? I was very, like every single day I was saying this for 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. I was really trying to be as open as possible throughout the day for anything that might happen. Right, does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Now, I do that for 2 weeks and my craziness happened. And now we're redoing this story.
And it's identical. Really, I started this.
Yeah, this is crazy. Absolutely. So I have a video of this. We're going to post it on TikTok probably on Tuesday. It's hard to describe. So I go downstairs. I'm going to make, you know, some breakfast. I go downstairs and all of a sudden I look up and we have these like three lights that we never turn on or use ever.
It like just recess lighting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I look up and they are going boom, 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 but like a light show like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have like this really interesting light in the middle. It has a speaker in it. So like if we had like a party, you can play music from it, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why we never use these lights because then you're turning the speaker on, right?
Mm.
So I look up, that speaker is making a sound. The lights are going crazy. And my dog, Velvet, she's like this big Weimaraner. She is crying in this video. Mm-hmm. She is not liking what's happening. So it was a crazy moment. I just took a video, kind of took it in, and I went right back upstairs to my hubby. And I said, you won't believe what happened. And to be honest, I've been asking for a sign for 2 weeks because we did this story.
Right. And this part of the show, Bob and Fran are videotaping the same light show in their kitchen.
Absolutely.
And it's like exactly the same, identical. And Bob, being semi-skeptic, has the electrician come over the next day, check all my fucking switches. There's something going on. And electrician's like, they're all good. There's no issue. So they're like, that had to have been Bailey.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have never had that happen before and it hasn't happened since. It's just, you got to like be like, okay, right? Okay, I accept this.
Mm-hmm.
It really is an interesting video. They talk about breathing, which I think is really important at the grief retreats, how to calm yourself down, meditation, mindfulness. These are all things that are important for a lot of people, not just people with grief, people dealing with stress, anxiety, PTSD. It's overwhelming at times. And all of these are really great things to learn, right, in your everyday life.
You knew about this. I had no clue. I don't know if Dre knew. So there was Mo Therese Hanna. She's a PhD psychologist. Her daughter, Monique, was 20. She committed suicide and she was beside herself, whatever. And she got a sign from her daughter that basically said, open your mind. And then she started this thing called, using your breath. It's the 4-8 breath.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Your son's on the spectrum. And you've said you've used this in the past.
Yes. Oh, yes.
you inhale for 4 counts and then you exhale for 8. And she's like, it's better than
Dennis. Really. Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. But it's you what? Have to hold yeah? you what? Have you have to hold your breath. So you breathe in for 4, hold, slowly breathe out for 8. If you do that, you know, even like 5 times in a row, all of a sudden your body, your brain, it's getting like a lot of oxygen and your body just goes,
that's wild.
Mm-hmm. And it's because I did grief counseling and things like that, that I had those tools. And then my son is on the spectrum. And, you know, when he was younger, it was a lot harder. And we had to use techniques like that. It's incredible. I recommend anyone who's having a moment, do the 4-8 breathing.
I keep on forgetting that. I keep on forgetting that. I'm going to have to remember to do that.
It becomes a habit. It becomes a habit. Like you just have to work on it. And it just feels good, honestly.
Yeah. And it's hard to work up to, though, that breathing out for 8 is like really, really hard. I do it too because I get PDCs. It's like irregular heartbeat. And whenever that happens, it's either like an anxiety attack's gonna come on or, you know, like it's really bothersome. It's super bothersome. Mm-hmm. So I learned, I actually do the 4-8 and then I do 6 and 6 a lot. And that's just like my regular standard. I couldn't take the stairs before. And I started doing 6 and 6. And if you just do that while you're running up the stairs, you'd be surprised how many flights you can take.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It regulates your breathing.
You don't
even
feel it. You have no pain in your body. Wow. It's crazy. Oh, I take the stairs all the time now.
I hate them. Okay, cool. Okay.
I just recommend to everyone to practice that. Practice. Mm-hmm. So then we are hearing this story, and this is just heartbreaking.
Yeah, so we meet Stephen and Courtney Knight, and they lost their 14-year-old son, Elijah. He was at Boy Scout camp, and there was a sudden storm that was out of the blue, wild. A bunch of boys retreated into a tent. There was a tree next to the tent. It actually fell down on the tent. It pinned Elijah down. The other boys were able to escape. Unfortunately, he did not. It kind of pinned him down where he couldn't breathe, and he unfortunately passed away. So we're meeting these parents who lost their 14-year-old son, and just feel for this mom. She is just, you could just see the devastation on her face. It's just there.
How aged all of a sudden she was, because they showed like family photos of when he was alive, and then they're there giving this interview and she looks 10 years older. And I don't mean that to be rude.
No, she doesn't even look like the same person.
Yeah.
No.
It's so crazy.
Right. So you can really see what a tragedy like that does to a person. Oh my God. I feel for these parents. This was really hard. They are really, really trying to find some kind of comfort and a sign, right, that Elijah is okay. They do this really interesting exercise where they're looking at flowers, right? This is a fake flower. It's not a real flower. And the dad is obviously more of an analytical, data-driven individual. Right? I wouldn't say he's like a creative person. And they're asking him to look at this flower and say what he sees, right? Mm-hmm. What do you see? Right? So he's very like 4 petals, frayed, white, right? He's giving this very serious description of this flower, okay? Mm-hmm. So then she says, close your eyes, describe the flower. Right? And he's saying, you know, it's white and it has petals and it's, you know, it's got some yellow and maybe some specks of black, and all of a sudden a butterfly comes to it. And she's like, hold up, wait a minute, right? There it is, right? Because it's about stopping, being open, right? And that's that exercise that they were learning, which I think is so fantastic, that things aren't what they seem just because you're looking at them. There's just so much more. Mm-hmm. So this was a great, great moment.
Then there's a part where there was a part where Stephen is then talking about how he's at home and he's at his desk and he gets this vision of a light coming through a door and he focuses on it. And then all of a sudden he just sees Elijah's face at this door. So it's like a bright light. Elijah's there and he just feels this just feeling of intense love. Mm-hmm. And that was it for him. Like that was his sign. And ugh, I'm getting chills again. It's just, it's so crazy, you know?
Right. And he was able to do that, right? Mm-hmm, because he learned it at this retreat. Otherwise, he never would have thought to take that moment and take that information in.
Mm-hmm. So I think knowledge is power. Just that he needed something bigger from his son because he said, you know, he was so intelligent. He was such a smart boy. Mm-hmm. He even said, I can't imagine him just sitting up in heaven playing a harp forever. Mm-hmm. That he had questions about relativity and he was just so intelligent that he wanted something more, something bigger. Mm-hmm. And he got it. He absolutely got it.
He's like, come on, you know, you got to show me something.
Yeah. Like you're going to give it to me good, you know?
Right.
And he did. And it was just, you know, when you saw like the difference in how he realized the realization that he's with us. Mm-hmm. It was this skeptic to a true believer. It was really cool.
Yeah, was cool.
It really is fantastic.
We meet another medium, Joe Scheel, and he's a medium and an artist, okay? And he has this huge easel, and he's drawing a picture of a man. And he's telling them, I see this man. I know that he died of cancer, but he also had some type of heart issue. And then he's finished. He's like, who knows this man? Does anybody know this man? And there's this Asian lady in the audience. Her name is Young May. And she's, that's my husband. Plain straight out, you just drew my husband. And
it's an incredible picture. Yeah, it's a great picture.
He died of cancer, but he also had heart complications. And then the guy goes, and he was like a little insecure as well. She's like, don't say that. Like jokingly, right? And he's trying to explain what he sees. So he's like, I see it, the screen, and the person appears, and then they slide off to the side, and they disappear. And then he gets the message, and the message to her was, you gotta live. And just, so they're flashing back and forth, and she's, when my husband died, that was it. I wanted to die. I didn't want to live anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that was it. Right. That was done with me. And here's this medium who just drew her husband on this thing. And he's like, you got to live. Anything that's funny that happens in your life, that's him. He's coming to you. And you have to start living again. That's his message to you. And
I started crying. When you said you have to live.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so wild. Exactly what she needed was exactly, and he drew her husband right there. She's looking at her husband. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. I want that. That's so amazing.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And you could just feel how much she loved and missed her husband, and she needed to hear that. She needed to hear it.
You could see instantly. You could see the life come back into her. It was so crazy.
Yeah. I think that's something that a lot of people forget or maybe don't think about. Your loved one who loves you wants you to live your best life. Mm-hmm. They don't want you to be a shut-in and to give up. What's the point of that? We all have a journey. And even if you miss them, you need to live your best life. And a lot of people, it takes some time to get to that. And hopefully they do. But, you know, he obviously loves her. He's with her. He wants her to live. So it was a great moment. And I did. I started bawling, dude. So then we go back and you know, Stephen had this incredible moment, right, with Elijah and feeling that great love, that moment that he needed. But Courtney was really struggling because they do this retreat and she feels like she's just not getting, I guess, maybe what she had hoped for, right? Sometimes we have an expectation and she just was not getting it.
Well, they show clips of like when Stephen was doing the whole picture the flower thing, and she's off to the side, and she just has this absolute distraught look on her face. She's been crying for days still. It's so heartbreaking with her. Then the retreat's over, and we go home. We go home with Stephen and Courtney, and she's still, they're sitting on the couch together. And she's, you could see from her body language and her face, she's exactly the same.
Right. I feel like she just couldn't take in what they were giving it. Right. A lot of people get stuck and it doesn't matter what is said to them. They just can't receive yet. And I just feel like she was in that, right. She was just stuck. And then she has this incredible thing that happens, and again, I cried. Cried so much.
I cried because I was happy for her, but then I was also sad for her on this part because she's standing in her kitchen, and all of a sudden, she just smells Elijah. Like she just gets this like intense smell of Elijah, which is one of those signs that you can have. But then she has this thought, oh my God, he's here. He's coming through the front door. So she runs to the front door and looks for him. Oh, he's not there. Maybe he's in his room next to his urn. And then she goes and she's looking for him throughout the entire house. So she's getting this incredible sign, but it's still somewhat in denial still, like hoping that maybe,
I think this speaks volumes, right? So here she's having this moment where she's having an ADC, she's having that smell, and she even says, like, the smell is so strong, it feels like she's inhaling his DNA, right? She's having this moment, but then at the same time, because humans are complicated, she's running around the house looking for him. And in the grief process, right, you have steps, right? One of the phases is acceptance, right? This speaks volumes that she is not accepted yet, right? She has not reached that. So that's why she's running around looking for him. And that made me so sad.
And it's taking a toll on her, not only mentally, but physically. It's taking a toll on her, and just how you see her, just her body and her face, and oh my God, I just felt for this lady so much.
Yes. And you know, watching the series, it's been some time since, you know, they've made it and it's come out. I really hope that maybe watching it, you know, that she's in maybe a different phase of her grief, but this is an incredible retreat, and I think that they do a lot of good things and teaching a lot of great techniques for parents and other people who have lost someone.
But they do show a clip towards the end of this episode where they have two other children and they're getting the children ready to go to school. And there's a dog, they have a Labradoodle actually, like what Miss Stephanie has and Dre has. And it's kind of like just cruising around the house. And it just seems like just an everyday family experience. The kids are getting ready to go to school, and she is involved. She's not not taking care of her other children. Like she's you can see that maybe she's slowly coming out of that thing. You know, she bye kids, she's like all happy to get them off to school. And I just hope that she found some type of, you know,
she's an incredible mom. Like I remember after my son passed, I was not functioning. A friend reached out to me and took me to my very first group grief meeting, right? So we're sitting in a circle. And these parents, mostly moms, are sharing their stories. And a lot of them are like older teenagers that maybe OD'd or committed suicide. And one of the moms is sharing a story where her child had committed suicide, and that she didn't leave her room for 5 years. And she's saying this, and I'm like, oh my God. And she had four other children that were younger. And that was a moment. There's like top moments in our life, right? That was a moment where I made a decision. I remember thinking, these children have lost their brother and they lost their mother. And I made a decision. I have two other children. They're not going to lose their mother too. So I did a fake it. I faked every birthday, holiday, dinner. I was in fake it mode because I wanted my kids to still say like we have a normal everyday life, right? You make a decision. And I remember that moment so clearly. And this, I think, really is incredible. She's an amazing mom, right? She has these other kids that we see in the video she's taking care of. She loves them. You know, I think, you know, this is a really, you can tell, a very loving, sweet family, right? So that's why I think I cried all over and over again in this episode.
What really, what's really cool about this series is it always ends with kind of like in a little like a clip or a little idea of what the next subject is going to be. So we end with the whole Knight family and how they're sending their kids off to school and how maybe there's some hope that Courtney's kind of, you know, the retreat has actually helped her and she's able to kind of have some type of happiness, or she's able to move on a little bit or not be so devastated how we first saw her.
She even said, she said that being able to understand the physics of it, the fact that the same protons that went through him are still going through her. And you know, it gave her some sort of an understanding, being able to like smell him. She says even, you know, people don't believe it. Like I said in the beginning, like it was real for her. It happened, you know, and it did give her some peace to be able to smell him the way that she did, you know? So that it, was
it's hopeful. Incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
So, yeah. I love how that ends. And then it kind of gives us a little clip. Okay. This is what's coming up. So yeah, we're excited to then see what happens in episode five.
And episode five is such a good time, y'all. It is such a good time.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Yes. It shows how compassionate people can be. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Hell yeah. So more to come.
Yeah.
More to come. Yeah. Ooh, good job, y'all.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the Whittle of the Week.
The Whittle of the Week.
Whittle of the Week.
Woo. All right. So our question last week, which I don't think we had any answers to, was what do an eggplant, a penis, a celery, and a cucumber have in common? Y'all, I asked my coworker this question. He is the most wonderful gay male I've ever met.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
And he was just like, you can bite him? I was like, oh, I love you.
You nasty.
I was like, ooh, you know I love them dirty birdies. Yeah, you're actually, you're right. No, just kidding. That's not the answer. It's a
I had a tough time with this. Because you think, oh, you don't want to go with like the obvious, right? So I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't, I have no idea either.
I have no idea. And we can't Google it because that's against the rules.
Yeah, against the rules. So they all have the letter E.
Oh, great.
I know. I really, really liked his answer better. Just gonna put this
out
there.
What? The answer is you can bite them.
You can bite them. Yes.
Good job. We'll go with that. Good whittle. All right. You have a new whittle of the week, girl.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What does every woman have that starts with a V and she can use to get what she wants?
Oh, well, that's not hard.
Mm.
Okay, you want to say it one more time?
What does every woman have that starts with a V and she can use to get what she wants?
It's not.
I love it.
Let's see. Okay. I always want to guess. Right away.
I know you do. I know you.
Don't throw it. That's rude. If Hilda doesn't hit us up with a guess, I'm gonna.
I know, Hilda. Shit. Where are you?
I know. Hello.
Don't be rude. Okay. Okay. Y'all hit us up. We love hearing from you. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all the social media. Social all media, the there we are. Mm-hmm. Hit us up. You can email us at handcuffsandsage@gmail.com. We have our website, handcuffsandsagepodcast.com. We have this new fantastic thing that we're doing. It's Spooky Ookie Stories. And it's you send us, right, a story that's mm-hmm. true crime, paranormal, you know, creepy related.
If you yeah, have a survivor story, you will be
those, like, want to hear it.
Rock star with us. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. guess what? You get to come on the podcast
yeah.
and share that story. Whoa. That's so fun. And we love doing the spooky, ooky stories. It's mm-hmm. fantastic because we don't have to do any work. Right? We yep. just get to listen and enjoy.
No
we
research.
Love,
yeah.
We love it.
The best.
You can be a badass and take 2 seconds. It takes 2 seconds, you guys. Let's keep it real. Mm-hmm. You leave a review for us on iTunes. It really, really helps us out. And I know you guys are awesome and you love to help people like we do. So take 2 seconds, leave us a review on iTunes. Mwah. You can support your favorite gals and check out our Patreon page. You choose from 3 different levels and how you want to, you know, support us. And you get swag. It's a win-win. Everyone wins in this situation.
The swag is so cool, too.
It's so good.
It's so y'all, cool.
I spoil you, right?
Absolutely.
I love, love, love everyone. And
I just want to say to our international listeners, we will send swag to you.
I guess Timo will.
Yeah. I will.
Mm-hmm. I love it. We just are so grateful and we appreciate you all. We love feedback and messages. We love reviews and the patronage. So just lots of love. Lots of love. Mm-hmm. You guys, I've had a lot of positivity and I'm feeling good.
Oh gosh, it's like 10:30 on a Sunday.
I know.
I hope you can go yes. night.
Oh honey, no. Mommy, daddy, political view time. That's what's gonna happen. It, you know, gotta
work,
keep it real.
Work.
Mm-hmm. My hubby brought me home some sunflowers today, and I was like, damn, ooh, I guess sure it's did. On.
He's
I
looking for some.
Thanks.
Y'all, he brought home sunflowers and then he worked on a project that I asked him to.
Oh
shit.
Damn. Guys,
someone is not getting pregnant tonight. It's gonna be fun. Okay.
Oh my god.
Are you ready?
Yep.
And just like you. We
have questions
and no woo! Answers. I have no answers.
I have no clue.
All right, good job, okay. Y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Handcuffs and Sage is hosted by Red, Timo, and Trey in a shitty guest room in Los Angeles.
Theme music is Leave Now by We Are Wasted. Cover art done by Megan Winchester.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Show us some love on iTunes. Be a badass and do what you want. Until next time.